Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
The pools, the casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio.
Riviera.
The Mirage.
Flamingo. Sahara.
The MGM Grand.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
Want to gamble?
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
The Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
Benny Binion is a Vegas legend. Many of the policies and procedures he put in place to run his casinos are standard operating procedure today. Making everyone feel like they're someone was the key to establishing loyalty and, more importantly, return business. At Binion's, you knew you were getting a good gamble with a fair shake. The Binions lived about 60 miles north of Dallas in Grayson County. Growing up, his family made their money via trading livestock, mostly horses and mules. Born in 1904, Benny was chronically ill with pneumonia, so he never went to school. Benny would tell you that there's more than one kind of education, and maybe he prefers the one he got. Hoping the fresh air and horseback life would help heal his lungs, Benny accompanied his father to livestock options. It did help. Benny's father was no good at holding on to money. So Benny, when he was about 10 to 15 years old, depending on the source, became the breadwinner and kind of the head of the family. While being a skilled horse trader, Binion expanded into gambling, which he seemed to have a natural skill at managing. It started with the horse traders gambling at the campgrounds. When Benny was 18 years old, he moved to El Paso. One day he was spreading gravel on a parking lot for Model T Fords and figured out that the parking attendants were bootlegging. So he started doing it as well. By the early 1930s, Binion was convicted twice of bootlegging. But in 1936, the political climate in Dallas was mostly comprised of looking the other way. Sure, there were plenty of raids and fines issued, but that was just considered a cost of doing business. By 1940, more than two dozen illegal casinos operated in Dallas, and Benny owned at least half of them. The political landscape began to change, and suddenly bribes to look the other way were no longer working. Such success drew the attention of organized crime, specifically the Meyer Lansky kind. First, he sent some people to discuss their cut of the action. Binion didn't agree that they were entitled to a cut. After multiple failures, Meyer himself made the visit down to Texas to meet this Benny Binion. According to Binion, the meeting was cordial and the two sides parted on good terms. Instead, Meyer would extend an invitation to Benny to come join them in Las Vegas. People who ran large industries that dealt in cash had to protect themselves, so Benny always carried at least one firearm on him. He's twice been accused of murder. The first time he was convicted, the judge only gave him 2 years suspended sentence because the guy he killed had such a bad reputation. The second time, it was determined that he shot in self-defense thanks to a bullet he took in the armpit. Some say Benny shot himself to make it look like self-defense. As competitors began to die violently and regularly, Binion thought it was wise to leave Texas. Back in Dallas, at least a dozen attempts were made on the life of Binion's top competition, Herbert Noble. After Noble's wife was murdered with a car bomb intended for him, he was convinced Benny Binion was behind it. His plan for retribution was to buy two large bombs and attach them to a plane. The plan was to bomb Binion's home in Vegas. His plan was never executed, and eventually, in 1951, he died via a bomb buried in front of his mailbox. Looking to avoid a similar fate, Binion moved his family to Las Vegas with several suitcases stuffed with more than $1 to $3 million in cash, depending on the source. When he got to Vegas and saw how good things could be there, he said, "Let him have Texas." Benny arrived in Las Vegas just in time for the grand opening of the Flamingo. He wasn't impressed, but admitted his taste leaned towards cowboys, miners, and prospectors. In 1947, Binion became partners with J.K. Housel Sr. in the Las Vegas Club on Fremont Street. The two got along well, but had very different gambling philosophies, which would eventually lead to the dissolution of their partnership. Not only did Binion favor taking any bet from a player, he pioneered the idea of comps, free food and drinks for all players. Binion was the first to send limousines to pick up players from the airport. Binion said, "If you want to get rich, make little people feel like big people." Most of which irritated households and conflicted with his philosophy that you should never give away anything you can sell. Truth was, the way Binion ran his property annoyed a lot of people. For one, he paid his dealers more than any other property, so it was easy to poach the best. Another reason was how popular things like carpet, higher limits, and comped food and drink were. The competition was forced to offer similar amenities or risk losing them to Binion. One owner, upon hearing that Binion wanted to raise the keno limit to $500, threatened to kill Benny if he did. Binion took the threat seriously and abstained for about 6 months. Then he raised the limits. The truth was, the only limit a player had at Binion's was what he was willing to risk on his first bet. Benny once said that knowing when to extend credit was perhaps the hardest decision to make in the casino business. In 1950, Benny Binion took the space vacated by the Las Vegas Club at 21 Fremont, absorbed its next-door neighbor at 23 Fremont Street, and opened the Westerner in its place on May 6th. In 1951, Benny Binion sold his interest in the Westerner and purchased majority interest in the El Dorado Casino for $250,000. Renovations on the property to the tune of $350,000 began almost immediately to rebrand it Benny Binion's Horseshoe Club. However, Benny's plans encountered a snag from the beginning. Despite just giving up a valid gambling license for the Westerner and having the support of the city commissioners, due to lingering legal issues in his home state of Texas and his 1931 murder conviction, the state tax commission denied Binion a license to run the El Dorado, believing doing so would be a black eye to the industry and the state. So Benny had former owner of the El Dorado and minority owner in the Horseshoe Club, Dr. Monty Bernstein, apply for the license without Benny's name included. Considering he already had a license to run the El Dorado Club, it was actually little more than a renewal request with a name change. The story goes, Bernstein was approved after reassuring the agency that Benny had...
We hope you've enjoyed this premium content preview. For access to the rest of this episode, as well as all the premium content we offer, go to patreon.com/360Vegas. A monthly subscription will give you access to the enhanced version of the podcast, often with bonus content, exclusive podcasts like 360 Vintage Vegas, 360 Origins, 360 Vegas Movies, insider information on all things 360 Vegas, 360 Vegas Vacation, and early access to everything. To subscribe, simply go to patreon.com/360Vegas. That's PATREON. Or you can find a link to Patreon on our blog, 360VegasPodcast.com.